This April, the small nonprofit is being sponsored by Troy Mailing. That's T-R-O-I Mailing. Friends, I've personally been using Troy's printing and mailing services for almost 5 years now. I choose them for my clients, and I chose them when I was in-house. They are great to work with, always get my brand colors right, are cost-effective, and get my mailouts to my donors on time, even during busy seasons. Call 1-866-876-4624 for a free $100 postage credit when you use promo code DONORDM1 on your next campaign. Thank you, Troy Mailing, for sponsoring the small nonprofit.
Have you ever been having a conversation with people who are trying to generate ideas on ways to grow the impact of your organization, and all of a sudden, celebrity names start being thrown around? We need so-and-so or so-and-so. I've literally had multiple organizations sit in front of me and say, we just need a strategy to get in front of Drake, and that will solve all of our fundraising and branding challenges. Like, automatically, the sky will open and rain money. Now, that's generally not how it works. But at the same time, we're seeing a lot more sort of, I'd say, niche or micro influencers having a really powerful impact in the for-profit world, but also for nonprofits. And so if your organization has been curious or thinking about this, and even if you haven't, I actually really encourage you to, because this is an opportunity to grow your reach, even drive donations or sell tickets to things in a way that's really aligned with your audience, and finding influencers who have an ideal audience for you. And so I've invited Christina Edwards onto the podcast because this is what she teaches. Her company, Splendid, does exactly that. So I am Cindy Wagman, your host of the Small Nonprofit Podcast, and we bring you practical, down-to-earth advice on how to get more done in your small nonprofit, because you are going to change the world, and we're here to help. So Christina is, as I said, her company, Splendid, helps small nonprofits and really all size nonprofits increase their supporters, engagement, and revenue. She used to run a PR agency, and so she really knows this space. And this conversation is super tactical. We are basically going to give you a roadmap on how to do this. All right, so buckle up. It's so much fun and impactful. It is a pleasure to welcome Christina to the podcast. Christina, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here today.
I'm so delighted to have this conversation because it's something we've never talked about on the podcast before, which is influencers. And I feel like a lot of people kind of know what that is, but let's start at the very beginning. What is an influencer in today's day and age?
Yeah. I feel like that's a word that maybe gets thrown around and people might have an idea approximately of like what an influencer is. And other people might have heard social media influencer and thought social media celebrity. And then maybe our brain goes to like Kim Kardashian. And we think of that, right? We think of somebody who has 50 million followers and that's an influencer. And yes, that is technically an influencer. But for today's kind of purposes and what I'm talking about and what I'm so passionate about teaching my clients and students about is really the power and benefit of influencer marketing and working with influencers as partners when they are thought leaders. And an influencer could be a thought leader that you follow on Instagram that is really into home decor. Okay. It could be somebody who's got a really great design eye. It could be an at-home chef who you're like, I'm making that recipe tonight. It looks amazing. So they're in buckets of different niches. I mean, we even see like doggy accounts that are influencers. So, you know, here there in Atlanta, there's like a popular dog account that like goes all around town and the little pups hosted all the different places. Like that doggy's an influencer, you guys. So it can range the gamut from celebrities that we, you know, actors and thought leaders and lifestyle bloggers, mommy bloggers, all over the place. Yeah.
Amazing. Before we talk about how to bring this into the nonprofit space, let's talk a little bit more about how those influencers engage with brands. Yeah. Because I think we need to start with understanding that model to understand how we can leverage that. So, you know, and I've heard, you know, influencers, micro influencers, but they monetize that stuff. Like this is
a business.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so to give you a little kind of context, I used to run a social media and PR agency. And so for our clients, so who were restaurants and retailers and things like that, we would work with influencers and we would negotiate contracts with influencers and send the influencer product or invite the influencer to come to a restaurant and then post about it, right? And so I would say maybe 5 years ago, it used to be a lot in kind, meaning a trade, right? I'll send you some product and if you like it, you can post about it. But really, as the kind of landscape has grown and changed, this is a full-time business for these influencers. So instead of just sending them a couple of throw pillows or a restaurant gift card, these are pay to play, right? This is not really different from running a digital ad on, you know, Facebook or a website that is, you know, a local publication, right? It's very similar in that, you know, this influencer has an engaged group, an engaged audience. And if you want them to talk about your product, then you're likely going to say, you know, I will pay you X for X amount of posts and maybe this amount of Instagram stories, or maybe you're going to blog about it. And so you can work out the contract that way. So that's kind of like the nuts and bolts of how it typically works. You might see the hashtag, like hashtag sponsored or hashtag ad with influencers that you follow. That is, you know, part of, you know, the legalese that you need to include when money is exchanged. Typically, the way that I teach it and the way that I want nonprofits to partner with influencers is actually more of a brand ambassador, right? Mm. So this isn't typically a paid sponsorship, although that is something you absolutely could work towards for more of a wider footprint. But what I'm looking for is, let's look at that, you know, really powerful, engaged influencer who has a really great lifestyle brand who talks a lot about, you know, mommy blogging. And so she's got her young kids and she's talking a lot about that. And she's got a core and group of moms that are local. She can easily partner with a local diaper bank to have a really symbiotic relationship and become a brand ambassador for them. And that works really well because likely that's a heart-centered cause that matters to her, right?
Yeah, so cool. Like, I think this is such a fascinating place. I want to dive into what that looks like, but
yeah,
the other thing I want to just draw attention to that I've noticed in influencer marketing recently, especially on TikTok, where I'm not going to admit how much time I spend wasting there, but I've noticed these influencer campaigns go really broad. Like, I will see a lot of influencers all advertising the same product at the same time. Mm-hmm, so that I think is just from a strategy perspective, super interesting because it's like, there's this weird FOMO that happens where like everyone's talking about this. It must be amazing.
We see that for sure. Like, imagine a new restaurant opening in your town, right? So what's a really smart PR move would be to go the traditional route. You know, you invite the journalists, you invite the critics, all that makes sense. But you start working with, you know, a team of influencers and all of a sudden, yes, it's like whack-a-mole. Like, they're all popping up talking about this hot new restaurant. Before you know it, you're like, why haven't I been to this restaurant? I want to go to this restaurant. I'm seeing these drool-worthy pictures of their food. I'm in. I want to go. And that is 100% a really effective strategy when you can plan for it in advance, right? So it's not arbitrary in that sense. And this would translate to a nonprofit having an annual event, right? You know, that annual event is happening you know, in October, right? So let's make sure that we have a team of influencers who are talking about it leading up to that annual event. And then you can help kind of mimic that FOMO factor.
Mm, I love it. It's super manipulative, but in a cool way. just the psychology behind that, I think, is so fascinating. And like, I literally bought a product yesterday after seeing it so many times.
So here's the thing, you're getting that third party validation. I talked a little bit about an ad. So when you read an ad, you don't get that, right? But when another person that you follow, that home decorator, that skincare guru, whoever it is, tells you about this product they love, like, I'm listening, I'm engaged. Why do you love it? You know, you're getting that third party validation, that proof that it works. And yeah, like, you're so much more likely to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It happens to me all the time. All the time. Yeah.
And you know, it's an ad, but you're sponsored because it says that, right? That, again, yes, you mentioned the legalese, like, that is a requirement when they're being paid to post. So,
I mean, I'm sitting on a cushion right now that was an ad, like, it was an Instagram ad. And I was like, I need this cushion for my desk chair. It's amazing. So yeah,
there you go. Like,
yeah.
I have a back support thing that I saw in Shark Tank. So
there you go.
Yeah. Yes. And it works, just as an FYI. So I want to talk about the goals we might have if we look at these brand ambassadors, influencers, micro influencers as potential brand ambassadors. Yeah. What kinds of opportunities, or what are we asking them to do if they're posting on social? Are they promoting something? Is there a call to action? Is it just brand building? What does that look like?
So you get to decide, but I like it to be campaign specific. So it can be specific, timely, measurable, and have a specific call to action. I also feel like that's nice for the influencer because it sort of designates to them like the container. And don't forget, they're used to working in a campaign. So they're used to working with a partner that says, you know, X amount of posts starting X day that look this way, right? So I like it's campaign specific. So we can use, you know, a spring fundraiser as an example. You know, you have this spring fundraiser coming up. So I've kind of coined it inside my program as a street team. So you're calling in your street team. This is your digital street team to help get the word out, like whatever the thing is. So it could be ticket sales to an event that you're hosting. It could be an online fundraiser. It could be signing up for a 5K. Like your call to action, of course, is going to vary. You want to be really clear with your partners, your ambassadors on what that is. The big distinction here, like the biggest distinction is, and you might already be like, yeah, I do that. I have a version of that. It's my board members, my junior committee. No, this is not committee work. So working with an influencer should feel, for the influencer, fun and easy. If it's not fun and it's not easy, then this is a business opportunity and we need to pay them for their time, right? This should feel like an add value for them, right? Because they're partnering with you. A lot of these people, especially on Instagram, like they want to be part of change. Like they want to be part of making their world or their community or their neighborhood a better place. They actually do, even if their audience is, you know, they're talking about like the best, I don't know, eyebrow gel, right? Like they still have a meaningful purpose, so many of them, and no one's asked them to get involved. So the trick here is we want to make it easy and we want to make it fun. The way that we do that is like we strip away the committee work from it, or like the board member work from it, and we give them done for you assets. We give them done for you copy. We give them done for you graphics. So using the spring fundraiser and as an example, like don't make them go find the graphic. Don't make them go come up with the copy. Maybe they're new to your organization. They dig your cause. It sounds really cool, but they don't necessarily know your voice yet, right? So you want to give them what I call like a little toolkit, a digital toolkit of everything they might need. You don't want to overwhelm them. Again, easy and fun is the factor here that you want to make sure that it goes back to, so that it feels like, you know, they're part of something and that they're not launching something on their own.
I want to add to that aligned, right? Like, and you kind of talked about this.
Yes.
But to be explicit, you know, how does this resonate with them personally?
Yes.
And also with their audience, right? It has to fit with that.
So I gave you a really what I call like a literal, it's kind of A to B, because I said mom, she's a young mom with, you know, she's got young kids, diaper bank, that is a near and dear to her cause. But I also want to offer, there's probably people who are like, my cause isn't that A to B, right? Like, where am I going to find the people that care about blah, 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 blah. And they are out there. Like, they are all out there, whether you run a doggy rescue, whether you are, you know, helping people who are experiencing homelessness, like whatever your niche is, they are there. And I find that just working through a process where you're reaching out to your friends of friends, growing your community, asking the people who they follow online, they're out there. You know, I mentioned like the foodies and the chefs and things like that. That's a huge demographic. And think about all the organizations that are out there that help food insecure households. Like, that is a natural, like, you might not see the fit. And then you're like, oh my gosh, it's right there. So
yeah.
You want to make sure the cause is aligned. Otherwise, it's going to land on the pitch. It's like you're asking somebody out and they're like, I'm married. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So then maybe we've identified someone that we think there's indication that they would be well aligned and that this would be something that resonated with them personally and with their audience. How do we connect with them? Because let's start with that. How do we connect with them?
You meet them where they are. So let's say this person's on Instagram. Don't send them an email. Now, every once in a while, you're going to find an influencer that says, don't DM me. I want you to email me. They'll put that in their bio. But 9 times out of 10, I want you to meet them where they are. So if they're on TikTok, look at their profile, see what they say. If they're on Facebook, messenger them on Facebook. So meet them where they are. But really, I would, again, we're going to use a dating analogy. Like, you want to kind of warm up to them before you ask them out. So like, have you been interacting with any other posts? Have you commented on anything ever before? Or you don't want to just DM them and say, will you do this for me? Right? This should be a partnership that feels well aligned and feels good and fun and easy for both people. And you start by warming up before you kind of make the ask of like, hey, what do you think about this?
What if they have an agency?
I would go through the agency. I've done that before. Yeah. Okay. So, so they might say, talk to my publicist. They might say, talk to my manager, talk to whoever. And then I would do that. I absolutely would. And I would start by saying to that person that they kind of refer you to of like, hi, you know, I've been DMing with, you know, Julie, and I really, really love what she's doing. And here's why I think this would be an amazing partnership. I see that she hasn't really, you know, talked about any nonprofits in XYZ area. We've got this going on. And I just feel like this is such a fit for our audience, and tell them why, like tell them the benefit and go for it. Like, I've done that actually before, where we had to work with a publicist, and the publicist actually responded and was like, actually I have 4 other restaurants that might be interested in this. Is that okay? I'm like, yes. Okay. So, I mean, and that's, you actually bring up a really great point, which is, you know, if this is something you want to dedicate time to, develop some relationships with those influencer agencies, managers, publicists. A lot of, in my world, a lot of them work with PR teams. So that would be a great place to, you know, take a PR publicist to lunch and say, this is what's happening, because those are usually like very local focused. Mm-hmm. And that would be a good place to kind of get your foot in the door.
Awesome. So we know what the ask is. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest sort of like elephant in the room is they're used to getting paid for this. How do we frame this as we are asking for this brand ambassadorship? It's not paid. How do we walk through that?
I think we're walking through it because we're stripping away a lot of the stuff that the influencer is used to being paid for. So in the sense, an influencer typically has to create a lot of the content. So if I sell send an influencer a bunch of throw pillows, right? They're supposed to go have a photo shoot and style it and all that. Like, so in this sense, again, it's not a heavy lift for them because I have a lot of done for you assets. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we're really highlighting the benefit to them, which is they want to be part of something that is giving back to their community. They want to be part of this social change. And I've identified that for them. So the other thing too is, we've talked about it not seeming like committee work or board work. Like, this ask, I would start with an initial ask for one time. You know, ideally this influencer, somebody you work with again and again, but let's say you do have somebody who's like, yes, I loved this to be like something I do with you each year. you do not want to access your street team, access your ambassadors on a monthly basis. This should feel like something you like bring them in on for the ones that make sense. So that might be two or three times a year. Inside my course, I told my students that, one of them was like, wow, I thought that we were supposed to like work with them all the time. And I'm like, then it would be a job for them. Right. Yeah. So that's part of the key here, is that this is something a few times a year, you're like, hey, champions, I need you, you know, and like you're calling in the dream team.
Amazing. And I like that because it's a relationship, but it's not an onerous one for them. And yes. I mean, ideally, it's not that onerous for the organization either. So
that's, yeah. I mean, how many times have you gotten like a product or again, had an experience and you've just naturally posted about it on social, and then a friend of yours has been like, wait, what is that? Tell me more. Like, it should feel like that, you know, where it's like, it took them 2 seconds. Your community was like, hang on, I want to know more about that thing too. And that ripple effect happened. Like, that's what it should feel like.
Awesome. So one of the things with digital marketing generally is our ability to measure and track and see the impact. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what we should be setting up, if anything, to be able to measure the impact of these types of campaigns for our organization.
Yes. So lots of ways we could go here. I'm going to use an event example. So if you had a specific link to the event you wanted to give the influencer to use, you could track it that way. If it was like a specific promo code, both of those would be really easy lifts of like a trackable link. They certainly can track things like story views, video views, shares. They can give you those metrics. But I will say that, you know, we're coming off the heels of Giving Tuesday. And so a lot of my students have been talking about it this way. And they've said, you know, specifically for Giving Tuesday, although fill in your campaign, your online fundraising campaign here, they've said, all right, last year we raised $2,000. This year was the first year we started working with ambassadors and influencers. We 5x'd our goal. Like, that's how you're going to measure it, where you're like, okay, last year we were talking to the same audience again and again and again, and they showed up and we love them and that's awesome. This year we used the ripple effect and we 5x'd it. I have another client who has also had similar things where year after year, they're like, okay, we just keep adding to our influencer bucket. We keep adding to our ambassador bucket. So it's, you know, maybe your pilot round is 5 influencers or 5 partners. And beyond that, you just grow and grow and grow. And maybe you kind of use half of them for the spring and half of them for the fall or whatever feels good. Or maybe you send out an email to all of them and half of them post, right? I want you to just keep compounding it, right?
Yeah. So we talked about it feeling light and easy and fun for these influencers or ambassadors, and that we don't go to them every month for an ask. Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned building up a little bit of a relationship or engagement before we ask them for the first time. How do we maintain those relationships in a way that, I want to say entices them or incentivizes them to keep participating?
I think they need to be part of your world. They need to be welcomed in the way that they would be if they were a donor, right? So I feel like they need to be invited to that VIP cocktail hour that maybe you're going to have when you have in-person events again. You know, they need to be invited to hang with you in person and online. And so the same way that we were kind of digitally warming them up, maybe you were commenting on some of their posts in a true, authentic way. Don't stop doing that. Like, don't stop because they said yes. You're like, all right, I'm done with it. Like, again, the dating, it's like, I courted you. We're done now. And, you know, settle in that way. You want to kind of keep it up. And keeping it up doesn't have to be like this heavy lift. You know, it can be an email here or there. It could be a short video where you're like, thanks so much. It could just be sharing when you see that they're promoting something and it makes sense for you, like share their post. You know, I'm like, that kind of relationship building is worth a ton.
Amazing. Is there anything you want to add that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I feel like the only thing that I'm like, okay, we blew right past it. You asked about it in the beginning was micro. We didn't really talk about, you know, like the power of the influencer who has 900 followers or 2000 followers, because that person is so powerful, arguably sometimes more powerful than the person who has 5 million followers, because that person usually has an engaged community that has a higher engagement level and is also very specific to what it is they talk about. So again, that could be like location specific, cause specific, it could be anything. And so think about, you know, it's like that local chef or that local foodie or somebody like that who has 900 followers versus the one that has 5 million. Those 5 million followers could be all over the world. And if your cause is specific to, you know, your city, like do not discount that micro influencer. You could have a street team with 10 micro influencers and have a huge online campaign. So I would mix it up and I would certainly not discount those relationships based on like the number, right?
Love it. Christina, this is so interesting.
I know I could talk about it all day long.
I know. Before we wrap up, can you give us an example of a smaller organization that ran a campaign? You've mentioned some of your students. Yeah. You have a program where you teach this, but give us like a case study.
Yeah. So inside my course, it's called Amplify Social Impact. It really, I would say a lot of people kind of dive into module 3 so they can learn this concept, right? So I teach this concept and have a lot of the like done for you pieces. Cause part of it is like, wait, who do I pitch? And then it's how do I pitch? And then it's like, okay, I got them, but now what? And then it's like, okay, when do we want to enact the dream team? And so I kind of mentioned this one case study earlier, but I have a student, Rebecca, who joined maybe 4 or 5 months ago, something like that. And she knew that was a priority. So she went like straight to module 3 and went straight for that. And she actually had a really great kind of recap. She did her own kind of case study recap after her campaign. And she said, you know, she listed it out. She said, I asked, you know, 10 influencers, 3 said yes. She said, I asked 10 businesses, 5 said yes. So she actually parsed hers up by local businesses too. And at the end, she had 5x'd her results. And so it's like, it's bananas. And the other thing that she did really, really effectively was she systematized it. And she has templates now. So she did something that now she doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. She can change out some creative. She can change out some colors for the next one, but like it's all on Canva, which I'm super passionate about. And she can just refresh the campaign next year because she did such a heavy lift. The other piece that she did really, really well is because she basically had, it was her first street team. It was really fun to watch her thank her street team and cheer on her street team digitally through the campaign. And what that looked like was like lifting them up and giving them shout outs and stories and posting pictures of them and tagging them in their handles. And you're just kind of, again, like closing that loop. So it doesn't feel like, you know, Julie said she would be a street teamer and did, and Julie's like sweating and it feels like a lot of work. Instead, Julie's just feeling hyped up and excited to help you exceed and blow past your goal. So that's kind of that loop of what that feels like. And then again, when the fundraiser is over, it's like, that was it. That was super fun. You're on a break until, you know, next time. And you're kind of just keeping that relationship open and warm.
Amazing.
Yes.
Christina, where can our audience connect with you and learn more about what you're doing?
So come hang with me on Instagram at Splendid Consulting. And then the best place to go is to watch my free masterclass. You can watch it instantly. And I talk a lot about this concept. I show a lot of examples. If you go to splendidcourses.com/masterclass, you'll see it right there.
Amazing. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you for having me. This was super fun.
And of course, to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you try some of this. It's very low barrier to participate.
Start with one.
Yeah, it's super, you know, it really does leverage that social proof that we know really intrigues people and gets them to take action. So go for it. You got this. And we'll see you next week.
Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.